Now on Money News, Roger Montgomery, talking trade. Thanks to Key Equities for all your stockbroking needs.
And Roger Montgomery from Montgomery Asset Management and the Montgomery Fund is with me right now in the studio. Hello, Roger. How are you?
Ross, good to be here.
Listen, by the way, lots of results coming out. One of the busiest days today. It's almost overwhelming.
Busy.
We should start on a few of them. We'll go through a few of them as we pass. But I just wanted to ask, are you pleased with what you're seeing out of these results?
Sure. There's some fantastic results coming out from some of these companies. I'm delighted that this reporting season, we've had no negative surprises in the holdings that we've gotten. We've had a few sensational ones. So you want me to tell you about them?
Yes.
Yeah, so Challenger Financial Group, for example, which is a stock we've held for a while, it's one of our top 10 holdings. Did you know there's massive growth, and there's also legislative pressure because of the demographic shift, massive buying demand for lifetime annuities.
Lifetime annuities, that's been their specialty for many years.
That is their specialty, and it is growing apace now, and I think it's going to accelerate. I think the analysts who are covering the stock, many of them who've covered the stock, have underestimated just how trendy these products are going to be. And because of their, because of the income that it produces and the understanding that people have, it's fairly easy to explain them. Because of that, I think demand for that product's going to go really well. They've got huge fund. They've had a $1.1 billion of funds under management inflow. So it all seems to be going very well for them. And I think their value will continue to rise over the next couple of years.
Because they have had bumps over the years, let's be honest.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but that's all changed. That's all cleaned up now. And anyway, they're one of them. The other one, here's an interesting one, G8 Education. The code is GEM. Now, just remember, I own the stock. So if you go and rush out and buy it, you'll be helping me. Go and seek personal and professional advice before you do. But they are buying childcare centres, which is what ABC Learning Centres used to do. The way they make money, though, is that they don't pay more than 4x earnings before interest and tax for the centres. They've identified about 4,000 centres that they could buy, which is a lot, and they won't buy them all. And at any given time, and out of that 4,000 centres, there's about 1,500 vendors, 1,500 owners, and at any given time, there's probably 5% of those vendors that are looking to sell. But analysts, to give you an idea, analysts think that their profit in 2015 might be $48 million. And we met with the company today and we know that they're trying to borrow some money. And if they employ that money at what they say they're going to employ it at and buy the centres at 4x earnings, they could actually earn $70 million, not $48 million. And then you know what happens in the market.
Yeah.
The analysts start upgrading their results and everyone falls in love with the stock. And at that point, we'll probably be selling it. But at the moment, it's a little bit of an undiscovered gem. The price has gone up pretty much all year last year. But having said that, not many people have heard about it. And because of the foul taste in everyone's mouth from ABC Learning Centres, people sort of think, oh, there can't be any money in childcare centres. But these guys seem to be doing a good job of it.
Can I take you to the big one of the day, and that was BHP Billiton.
Yes.
Where the half-year profit was much stronger than the analyst's forecast. The share price was up. But I noticed also that because of iron ore, a stronger performance in iron ore, that Rio Tinto's share price rose even more because people started to upgrade their expectations of what Rio Tinto might do in the future. What was your gut feel on all this?
Well, I actually take a step back and I actually think that what you've got to do is you've got to compare the profit that they might produce to the ones that they produced before, and the profit is not significantly greater than what they produced 7 years ago. It will be a little bit better, but not a whole lot better, yet they've got twice the debt than they had all those years ago. And while they've bought back some shares, I want to see that extra debt that they've taken on is going to be employed profitably, and we haven't yet seen that. And I'm still very concerned. I said this last year, and I was wrong all year last year, but I still believe that the iron ore price could drop significantly over the next 18 months.
One very quick one as we go to the break is with BHP Billiton, the new chief executive, one of his great mantras is to reduce that debt down to around $25 billion so they can start to buy back more shares, is the message that the market seems to be getting.
Well, while the iron ore price is high, they'll earn the cash to be able to do that. But then what happens if the iron ore price is low? It'll be a whole lot tougher. Not only will they earn less, but the cash flow will be lower. They won't be able to pay down the debt. Interest rates could then go up and they might be rolling debt in the future at higher interest rates. But that's not an issue for them right now. Everything looks good right now. I'm just concerned about what happens to iron ore. Debt has increased in China faster than income, and that means that the Chinese economy must slow.
Interesting stuff. Roger Montgomery back after this break. Yeah, welcome back to Money News. Roger Montgomery with me, as he is every Tuesday night, talking to market. Roger, the market is better. The sentiment is better around these results, as we've talked about.
Yes.
Kind of understandable, because if the earnings are there, the share prices should be there as well. Just one thing. What about mood? Because we're seeing a lot of the closures. I mean, Alcoa, General Motors Holden, the troubles at SPC Admona, Ford, all of this type of thing. Surely must have something. There's a feeling right now that manufacturing is just dying in Australia.
Well, I think it is on a big scale. The large-scale manufacturing is, I think in order to succeed in manufacturing in Australia, you have to be niche and you have to be very high value add. I heard Malcolm Turnbull say last week that we've known for a long time that car manufacturing in Australia was dying. And so my question to the Liberal National Party is, well, if you've known for a long time, what on earth have you been doing while you've been in charge or been in opposition to ensure that there was somewhere else for all these people that are going to become unemployed to go?
So where is the place for them to go?
Well, there isn't a place for it. And the reason why there isn't is because the tax structure is wrong in Australia. Go to a place like Singapore and you've got a tax-free holiday for 3 years for startups. Let the market decide with a tax-free holiday what we're good at, and then let people be employed in those industries. And when the market's identified it, then the government can come in and say, you know what, we're going to support that. We're going to do something about that. But you don't want 22 career politicians, a couple of lawyers and maybe a couple of business people experience with business experience deciding the future of this country. Let the market decide. Give us a tax structure that's fair. Let people try and make a quid. Give them a go, and then hopefully they'll employ people and they can help.
Let people make a quid. That is absolutely the mantra of this program and the mantra of Roger Montgomery as well. And Roger, as always, good to have you on the program.
Thanks, Ross.
Yeah, so there you go. And this is on a day when you've seen another death of another significant Australian manufacturer. Steve Price and Andrew Bolt up next. See you tomorrow.